Okay, welcome everybody. This is Mordechai Plasker, live from Hillside, New Jersey. Thank you everybody for joining us. Special karas hatov to Rav Moshe, my good friend over here. You should have a brach on everything he does. And tonight's shiur is on Parshas Korach. And Korach, as we know, is somehow finds itself in the summer months where many of us are on vacation. However, some of us are when we study this Parsha, we see it says, Vayikach Korach, ben Yitzhar, ben Kash, ben Levi. It does not say, it doesn't go back all the way to Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu didn't want to be involved in Machlokas. But Vayikach Korach, as Chazal say, he took himself aside. And Chazal explained that Korach was no dope. He was quite intelligent, and he understood that if Klai Yisrael were to be given the punishment from Parsha Shlach as a result of the Meraglim, they were not able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Vayikach Korach, he took this as an opportunity to cause further divide among the file and rank of Klal Yisrael. And then we also know of Avon ben Peles from Shevet Reuven. And so when we look at every one of these individualized, or we compartmentalize these different machlokas, they all came from different spheres of concern. Korach was coming because, first and foremost, he felt neglected, that he was being overseen or overshot for the mighty role that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen had already secured for themselves with regard to being the Mishkan, as well as the conduit for the Masorah Satorah. So Korach was very upset about the fact that he was being overlooked, because after all, his father was older than Amram, and Yitzhar was the older brother to Amram. So therefore he was upset. But when we look at this machlokas, we see that every one of them had something else that was going on, and Korach was seeking to say, hey, look, I'm upset because I'm being overlooked. You guys, the rest of Klal Yisrael, you should be equally upset, because whatever it is that you're doing, it doesn't seem to amount much, because you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that you're the Dardea, you're the ones who saw the Makos, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Kabbalah Satorah, the Man, the Slav, all these wonderful, amazing miracles that happened, including the protection from the Anane HaKavod that Hashem afforded Klal Yisrael as they sojourned throughout those years in the desert. So now that we're stuck here in the desert, you should be joining me and rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is not new. This is something that's happened before. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas V'yakel, and the Baal Turim over there says that the reason why we should not kindle a fire on Shabbos is because, in the same way that I, Hashem, allow Gehenna to rest on Shabbos, or Shabbos b'menucha, then you too should do the same. But if you kindle a fire, then that fire will be ignited once again. What does that mean? It means in the story we know from Rabbeinu Bachya brings down that a very evil general came upon Rabbi Kiva, and he said to him, you know, he asked him a bunch of questions, and one of the questions was, you know, why is it that you support poor people? And Rabbi Kiva answered, because that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to help one another. And his answer was, well, if God wanted this person to be rich, then he would have been rich, and why is it that you seem to be going against the will of God? And so then he said to him, you know, gave him an answer, of course, but he said to him, he said another question about Shabbos. Why is it that you keep Shabbos? So Rabbi Kiva turned to him and he said to him, your evil father thanks me for keeping Shabbos, because by me keeping Shabbos, his fire in Gehenna is not burning. So that night he had a dream, and he said, whatever Rabbi Kiva said to you is correct. It's because the Jewish people are keeping Shabbos that I am not burning in Gehenna. And then the next day, obviously, the story is told over, that he became a little bit closer, even though he was just as wicked as he was the day before. What is the point of this story? The point of the story is that when there is machlokas, as the pasuk says of Nekorach lo mesu, that when the children of Korach did not die, that refers to the fact that there always will be machlokas. However, the point of tonight's shiur is not to focus on the machlokas, which is the centerpiece of the whole parsha, apparently, but to look within the parsha at examples of where we try to alleviate and reduce the tension. There's tension in bungalow colonies with boards and different folks from different factions and different backgrounds. there's tension, you know, there's traffic because there's a lot of people going upstate, and there's always there's more heavy congestion on the road. We have an obligation to reduce that tension and also to be calm, relaxed, cool, calm, and collected, the three C's. How do we do this? We take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu's action when it came to Datsun and Aviram. Moshe Rabbeinu, despite the fact that he had called them to come to him, he went and spoke to them. And now anyone will recognize that a Gadol Yisrael does not need to go seek out people that might be viewed in the present or in the mindset of others as rebel rousers. But Moshe Rabbeinu did not see them as rebel rousers, despite the fact that they may have been contributing to that Besasufa Shebe Kibo, the Arab route. Moshe Rabbeinu went and visited them. And when you visit people like this, you make an effort. If you make an effort, whether you're successful or whether you are unsuccessful, the fact is that people will be speaking about the efforts that you make in order to reduce the tension and remove, to the best of your abilities, ceaseless and senseless arguments. And when we do this, when we accomplish this, then obviously we create a better tomorrow. And so we take this parsha, even though Korach took himself to one side and tried to bring everyone down with him, one of the most important lessons that we take away from this parsha is that there will always be machlokas, there will always be people that will disagree with someone else, but our job in life is to smile and to look these concerns in the eye and try to make them a little bit less tenuous, a little bit less stressful. And if we have the ability to do this, then I'm certain that if we can make a joke instead of saying Lashon Hara, and if we can reduce some of the stress level wherever we may see it, wherever we may find it, it will go a long way, because others will see this as an example, a role model that they can also follow through. So that's Mida number one. Mida number two, in the next minute and a half, is an irony that has always struck me as odd, that when they came looking for Own Ben Peleth, his wife had told him, what's the difference to you who is leading, Moshe or Korach? The bottom line is that you're not going to be leading. Why don't you just go to sleep? And so she gave him a big meal, made him, you know, fish and steak and wine and I don't know what he was drinking, but whatever it was that he drank, it could have been a 30-year stateside, it could have been an Islay, it could have been a Callan, but whatever it was that he went to drink that particular night, he fell asleep. And the next morning, who was standing outside? Who was sitting outside his house? His wife. And his wife took her head kerchief, and she uncovered her hair. And when these people from 250 of the greatest assembly from the tribe of Levi, from Korach, you know, a league of nations, when they approached this house, they were looking for him. They immediately turned the other way. Look at Rabbeinu Bachya, you'll see what I'm talking about. Look at Chazal. And they say, Chachmas Isha Bansa Besa, that a wise woman builds a home. And then, of course, returned to Korach's wife, who egged him on and said, you know, Baya Shakul Tchelet Shechem Tzitzis, a bias that's kulo mullis farim. You need a mezuzah? Of course you don't. Of course you don't. Why do you make, and then you come back with a head shave like this? Why? So you can look like Moshe Rabbeinu? Who do you think you are, Moshe Rabbeinu? And do you think you'll ever become a Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe you should try to become a Moshe Rabbeinu. And maybe you should try. No. So if we're comfortable in our own skin, then we wouldn't be looking to take on roles and responsibilities that are really not something that we're entitled to, perhaps, or something that's really not befitting to us. The irony of the story, the second part of this Bar Torah, is that despite the fact that they came with such conviction to rebel against Moshe, which is rebelling against the Mesoros HaTorah, which is a share that I'll give in greater detail on Sunday night, what the impact of attacking the Mesoros HaTorah, and what is the result, the on the base level, they couldn't see a woman's hair uncovered, but they were willing to go head-to-head with Moshe Rabbeinu, who went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah and gave it over to Klal Yisrael and chastised Klal Yisrael and gave them food in the flavor of a man, whatever they thought of, and he gave them all of these wonderful things. But to see a woman's hair uncovered, that was too much for them. They could not handle that. And so that, my friends, to me, is the greatest irony, that people can be so religious but not yet get the point. In a way, they could be religulous. That is in itself a telling statement about something that we must seek to avoid. We have to always see the bigger picture. It's not the fact that the woman's hair was uncovered. It's the fact that you're rebelling against Moshe, which is in sense, you're rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're willing to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're not willing to see immorality. This is something that we have to understand in the days and the years and the months to follow. What is the point of the machlokas that we're trying to achieve over here? Why are we fighting like this so senselessly? And do we see the bigger picture? And if we did see the bigger picture, we surely would be able to make light of the machlokas, reduce it, and then, of course, let it simmer down and let it just cook itself off. And then, God willing, we will all come back to a steady state where we try our best to get along with one another. And in that chus, God willing, when we see the bigger picture and when we reduce machlokas within our own camp, there will be incredible shalom in Klal Yisrael, and that's a tacha, it's a bracha that I give to everybody, that within your own families, within your lives, you should be able to see the light and smile, and God willing, that's Hashem. Wishing you the very best from Hillside, New Jersey. God willing, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. I'll be back Sunday night. And Social Karas Tov to Jake and Aryeh and the whole Share Enjoyment team. Thank you for making the Share a success. Thank you for listening to tonight's Share. Have a wonderful night and a great Shabbos.